Traveling was a relief because I didn't have to talk to Merrill. My father, his wife Rosie, and my father's business partner were traveling with us to the auction in Oregon, which we reached 2 days later. Merrill didn't speak to me in the van. It was business as usual for him. But for me, everything had changed. My father and Rosie were happy about my marriage, which made it feel even more surreal. If they loved me, how could they have let me go through with something so hateful? I knew they thought Merrill was a man of God and would never do anything hurtful or wrong in God's eyes. My parents thought that my marriage was a blessing of God because it had been revealed through the prophet. My happiness, in their view, was dependent on my willingness to do the will of God, no matter how painful that might be to me. At night, when we were alone in the motel, Merrill would spend most of his time watching TV or consoling Barbara on the phone. She was unhappy about being left behind. He kept assuring her that he loved her. I said nothing and in bed tried to avoid any contact with him. The next day, Merrill bought some construction equipment at the auction. I listened to the bidding and selling and felt that I was just another piece of property that Merrill owned. Merrill called Barbara several times during the day. I didn't want him to pay attention to me, but I thought he'd at least acknowledge my presence or speak to me in the van. I was used to being treated like a person. We spent the last day of our trip driving through California's Redwood Forest and shopping in San Francisco's Chinatown. Merrill made a big point of buying some cheap Chinese fans for his daughters and wives. We drove through much of the night to get back home to Colorado City. Merrill stayed with me for an hour or two before heading into Barbara's bedroom. My first impression the next morning was that the house was immaculate and well organized. I'd soon see that this was a sham. The first clue that something might be off was when Ruth came out of the kitchen, where she'd been preparing breakfast, to greet Merrill, who'd emerged from Barbara's room, showered and dressed. He kissed her and said, "It's good to see you, Ruthie." Ruth nodded stiffly. "It is very good to see you. It was hard not to talk to you all week." That seemed odd. Merrill was always on the phone. I'd assumed when he wasn't talking to Barbara, he was speaking to his other wives, Ruth and Juanita. Merrill responded by asking Ruth to gather up his beautiful daughters and lovely wives. He took my hand and led me back into my bedroom. Kissing me, he asked me to get the fans we'd bought in Chinatown. I dug the fans out of my suitcase and went into the kitchen. Barbara was there, and I noticed her eyes were red and swollen. It looked like she had been crying all night. Merrill's 10 teenage daughters, the Nusses, surrounded him like a tribe of smiling girls. He had 4 other daughters between the ages of 9 and 12, and they were part of the adoring chorus around him. Everyone seemed excited about the fans from Chinatown. It seemed fake and unnatural to me, but not to them. After the fans were handed out to his wives and daughters, Merrill turned and handed me the last one, saying, "This fan is for my lovely wife, Carolyn, as a memory of our first trip together." He then announced that he and Barbara were leaving that morning for Paige and his construction company. Merrill told me to help Ruth in the kitchen and spend time getting to know his family. As soon as Merrill left, I went into his office and called my teachers at school. I was desperate to reschedule my finals and relieved when I found out I could still get credit for my classes if I took my exams that week, which I could. The community college was in town and used the same building as the regular school. I finished all my finals by Friday, came home, and collapsed. The last 2 weeks had severed me from the only life I'd ever known. I knew Merrill would never let me go to medical school, and it was pushing it to even get to be a teacher. I'd heard he needed a new secretary in Paige. Barbara was his traveling secretary. Margaret, Merrill's oldest daughter, had been the other secretary who worked in the office, but she'd gotten married and was now living in Salt Lake City. Merrill needed help and fast. I was afraid he might force me to take her job and quit school. Merrill had said something about it to me on his way out the door with Barbara earlier in the week. The next morning, I went for a bike ride with Audrey, who was 20 and Merrill's oldest unmarried daughter. Audrey was graceful and quite pretty. I'd always liked her, even though she was a Nuss, because she didn't put on airs and pretend to be superior to her sisters.